Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, two unexpected yet familiar faces will make an appearance in Spider-Man Far From Home. A director has been found for the Black Widow movie upcoming, and Daredevil Season 3 has been confirmed to be released in 2018.
Ooh-wee, all that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Oh, Jeff Randall, time to talk about some news, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've actually done, like, a real news episode.
Yeah.
News and feedback.
You know, we've been kind of letting that slide in lieu of doing content episodes, because that's really where our heart lies. And but, you know, we're trying to do, we got so much general feedback this time, I was like, we should just do a news and feedback episode. We did one last week, too, so it's actually
I like to think...
Not been that
I like
long.
To think that it's just that you don't want to be spoiled anymore.
Yeah.
So you're just like, stop talking about new stuff,
yeah, that's,
please.
That's not a bad interpretation.
It's not incorrect. I just say it's bullshit, that's all.
I have been spoiled many times on the cast where you've read something and I've been like, well, I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah.
So no one else got spoiled but me, I guess. So it's not so bad.
Yeah, you take the hit.
Yeah, I take the hit for all of you.
You dive on the grenade for everyone that we love.
Real Christ figure.
So, speaking of other amazing people, and it's been... Sorry, I can't transition.
You can't transition away from that. Sorry.
Oh, man. I was about to compare Samuel L. Jackson to Jesus.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Well... I'm excited about this. In Spider-Man Far From Home, it's been announced that Samuel Jackson and Colby Smulders will be in there as their characters, which is kind of a spoiler because we know they come back from wherever
Dust
they
them.
Are right now. we already know Spider-Man will, but there's been much discussion about like trading lives for other lives, and will they bring just certain people back or will they bring everyone back? It sounds like that's three people they've got to bring back.
Spider-Man Far From Home is entirely just going to be in the Soul Gem. Like, it's all going to be afterlife Peter Parker and Nick Fury and Maria Hill. That's all that is.
Well, and with the other thing that was spoiled this week of Tom Holland's costume being back to the red and blue regular Spider-Man costume and not the Iron Spider costume in Far From Home, that was also spoiled this week. And what if...
Damn it, Tom Holland.
What if the whole thing is just before Infinity War? What if Spider-Man really is just gone?
Oh, man.
And it's all
things. It's been said before that the second Spider-Man movie, this one, Far From Home, is going to take place like seconds after Avengers 4 ends.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's going to pick up right after it.
I'm just trying to upset people with speculation about dead Spider-Man.
You almost upset me.
You were like, that makes sense. Oh, no, wait. I know better.
I have heard news. I'm the news guy. I know better than to listen to this jack knocker.
So they found a director for Black Widow, I hear. Is that correct?
Yeah, man. Australian director Kate Shortland is going to be directing Black Widow.
Do we know anything that she's directed other than that?
She's best known for directing Berlin Syndrome and Lore.
Hmm. Lore sounds familiar. I may just be thinking of the Star Trek character. But
yeah, other than those in the report, like I don't know anything that she's directed.
Okay.
Like I went and looked and I was like, oh yeah, okay, she's done some stuff. Yeah, cool. I should watch some of these.
Yeah, I would assume that she would have done some stuff if she got the Black Widow movie. So let's talk about this. Black Widow is getting a movie. We've known that for a little while now, but it's like when you start seeing people hired on to it is when it kind of becomes real.
Yeah, when names start getting attached to it, it's like, oh, crap, this is actually happening. Holy crap.
And it starts putting it on a timetable, too. It's like, a director is named. That means you're 2 or 3 years away from the film being released.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. You know, that's something we haven't really talked about.
Steve Carell. Just like, it's happening! Oh, my God!
For years, we've been talking about who would die in Infinity War. And we've speculated about all the Avengers, but one that we really haven't talked a lot about is Black Widow. Nobody really thought she would die. We I think we talked about it once, and our supposition was I could see Scarlett Johansson being like, "Well, I'm not getting my own movie, so I might just go. I might just go now."
She doesn't die; she just disappears.
Yeah, it's exciting that she's getting her own movie, and it's exciting that she Black Widow's sticking around. Apparently, I feel like everything that they meant talk about past Avengers 4 is a spoiler. Like everything.
Yeah.
And we know they're going to have to do something to bring a lot of these people back, because we know that, like, Black Panther's not gone for good, Spider-Man's not gone for good, but still, it just feels like a spoiler.
Yeah, it kind of lessens the weight, the gravity of the events that happened. Like, as gripping as they were, it's still just kind of like, the blows don't land quite as hard.
Yeah, for sure. They still do, like, to the characters, and it still was some beautiful moments, but, you know, I feel like it could have been a little more secretive about what's happening after.
Like, if they could be as secretive about the things that are happening after as they are about the name of Avengers 4,
right,
then we'd be fine.
We still don't have a name.
We still don't have a name for it.
I thought we'd have it by the time the DVD came out, but now the DVD is out, right?
It's on digital right now. It came out on digital last week. It will come out on physical next Tuesday, the 14th.
Okay. Cool.
And we'll have our own special cast on the 14th.
That's right. We got a cast coming up on the 14th. We might. We should definitely do some DVD special features talk. I feel like that would be great.
I can try to make that happen.
Yeah, it'd be neat. I think we could, as the cast, make that happen. Yeah. All right. Any other news?
I mean, there was that one thing.
What's that one thing?
Where Daredevil Season 3 has been confirmed to come out in 2018.
That's awesome. It's so crazy. Yeah. We have a piece of feedback. I think from Nathaniel Muzzy, and it's actually the first piece of feedback, and it relates to that, kind of. The fact that they're doing three Netflix series this year. And, you know, like, there's 356 days a year.
It's four. They're doing four, because we had Jessica Jones. Yeah, we had Jessica Jones at the beginning of the year, and then we just got Luke Cage.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're coming up in, let's see, 4 weeks, we're getting Iron Fist, and then Daredevil Season 3 is coming out this year as well.
Wow.
We're getting all four Defenders series.
I did not know that. I didn't. Yeah. I guess I forgot that Jessica Jones was this year.
Yep.
Wow. That's insane.
All four in a year. Woo.
And then, did Punisher was when?
Punisher was in November, but I think they finished principal photography on that, and it should be coming at the beginning of next year.
Okay. Golly. This is insane. It's such an insane amount of content, and it's so much that I love. But yeah. Man. And another piece of news. They just tweeted a few minutes ago, as we're recording this, that Cloak and Dagger has been renewed for a season two.
Yeah!
And I love Cloak and Dagger. I think it's one of Marvel's best shows.
Can confirm.
Especially, it's not about a hero. It's not about heroes yet.
Yet.
It's very much
about kids.
It's about kids, and they're becoming who they are. And they're kind of becoming, they're learning about their powers and learning about who they are as people and whether they want to be heroes or not. And, like, I don't know. I've really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, and this is spring 2019. Ooh, sir. They got to get stepping right now.
That's right.
Oh, shit. Get on it.
That's one of the benefits of doing 10 episodes, though, is you're not as time strapped.
Yeah.
A little more nimble.
Yeah, but then right around that time, we should be getting also, like, Punisher Season 2 and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6.
Yeah.
Probably another... I don't know if we'd get another Defender series at that point, but that's also... I think that's around the time they were hoping to have the new Warriors come out, but it hasn't found a home yet, so we're still kind of...
don't even know about the new Warriors yet. I haven't even like looked into the new Warriors yet. Normally, like once things are announced, I start kind of like doing a little research on who they are. I don't even know anything about the new Warriors yet. It's gonna be
it's because they haven't found a home yet.
Yeah. Okay. I have some news that is non MCU related.
Okay.
I thought I'd get more shock out of you. Thank you.
Is that good?
Thank you for the gasp.
All right, yeah. fix it in post.
Totally. I'll totally edit that.
Yeah.
So two things have been announced that I am super excited about, and some of it's hearsay and rumor, but I am super excited about it. Okay. I've said many times in this show, one of the major reasons I love the MCU is because I grew up on Star Trek, and Star Trek it introduced me to the idea of a continuity and having a universe that can span television and movies and books and having like a continuity that runs through them and how deep and rich that can be. And that's what Marvel's done. And it kind of picked up the torch to me from where Star Trek kind of left off when I was a kid and what I loved about it. They just announced this week that Patrick Stewart is reprising his role as Captain Picard to create a sequel series or something about the next chapter of Captain Picard's life.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That is amazing.
So it ties in that way that it's similar to the MCU in that way. And that's like, it's very much, I've talked about it so much on the show, how excited I'm about Star Trek. Or how much I grew up on that, and that's one of the things that makes me love MCU. And now they're doing it again, and the idea that they're doing like a next generation series, like a continuation. For one thing, since and I'm not gonna get too deep into this because I'll save it for another podcast. But since like 2002, something like that, we have not gone forward in the timeline. They keep jumping backwards in Star Trek timeline, and I am so excited to see what they do actually like moving forward and like new technology, new intergalactic politic things happening. I am so floored. Probably
politic things.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's one of the things I watch Star Trek for is like, I love to see how races and like alien species kind of like interact and they'll fight for a while and then they sort of like make peace and then eventually become allies. Like that's happened over the course of the hundreds of years that have spanned the show. And a lot of times they base that stuff on actual countries and how they have interacted. And I'm very excited to see where they go. Like what goes from here? Because when you jump backwards, you're just retelling some of the same stories you already know. And it's the classic prequel problem. They've done three prequels now, and I'm just ready for them to move forward. And like Star Trek has always been about the future, and I'm super excited. The other thing that is very related to both of these things, both of these ideas, the MCU and Star Trek, they've announced a Buffy series, a new Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, which is one of my favorite shows. And it is, I haven't seen confirmation of this officially. At first, everyone was calling it a reboot, but Joss Whedon is involved. It's going to be apparently a different Slayer. So I think what they're doing is they're basically creating the Vampire Slayer, the next generation. And I was thinking about that and how cool that is. And the original series of Star Trek was about 18 years removed from the next generation.
Yeah,
and this Buffy series will be about the same time, and it just makes me think like maybe we're seeing, like there's so many Buffy fans that love the series, but it was already over by the time they all loved it, and I'm just really excited to see more like deep continuity in all these shows. Just super excited. I don't know. They may still call it a reboot, and I'd be very upset if they just reboot it. I really want them to continue it, and I'm super excited that they might. But anyway, the reason I bring both those things up is I really want to start podcasts about them. I don't know if I'll have time, but if there's any huge Star Trek fans out there that might want to start a Star Trek podcast, they're now going to have two series, and I really am excited about the Patrick Stewart Picard one, and Discovery has been good, and I've been wanting to start a Star Trek podcast for a while, but Dave won't do it with me. Dave Robertson of the DC On-Screen Podcast. both huge Star Trek fans.
So. I love that you just like straight up called him out.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, he's this just, guy, his address is...
No, he's just too busy. He just keeps saying, man, I'm so focused on trying to make DC On-Screen good, and it takes so much of my time that it's just really hard to commit to another one, and I get it. Totally get it. But I just think it'd be really fun. And we wouldn't have to put... Like, I just want to do content episodes, kind of like we do here, mostly. Just stick to content. Don't have to do a lot of prep. Just sit down and talk about the episodes that we're going to watch anyway, you know? anyway, so that's my non-MCU news, that I'm just, like, more excited about other content than I've been in a while. Like, MCU's been my sort of source for that kind of well-composed universes.
Yeah.
Lately, and I'm really excited that it looks like two of my favorite universes are coming back and moving into the future, and like just having a new chapter. I'm just super excited. So, hope everybody else wasn't too bored by that. Sorry, Jess.
Well, it's okay, man. It makes me think. Like you say, you know, the MCU has been kind of your thing for a little while now, and think about this. We started this podcast 4 years ago, almost to the day.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into our first bit of feedback from Nathaniel Muzzy that you had mentioned earlier. He says, hey guys, just wanted to check in and say I feel your pain when it comes to being time crunched. Despite best intentions, I haven't caught an episode of Cloak and Dagger yet, but I'm looking forward to binging it. I really appreciate you guys' efforts keeping the podcast going. It's easy for people to forget that when you started the show, Guardians had just come out, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was in late season one or gearing up for season two, I think, and Marvel was putting out about 1.5 movies a year. No Netflix, no Hulu, no Freeform. The MCU has undergone massive shifts since the cast started. For example, the movie and TV division split. Hashtag it was all connected. We're easily getting 4 times the content per year than we were when you all signed yourselves up for this. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is it's time for you guys to fight for our entertainment. Steampunk cringelord versus local band wannabe. Civil War! Bleed for us! Okay, have fun. Keep up the great work.
Steampunk cringelord and local band wannabe. Thank you, Nathaniel, for bringing up our very our worst insults we could think of for ourselves that people have made.
yeah,
it's great. Yeah, no, he's right. This universe has expanded so much, and so please forgive us when we get a little behind on things. Like Cloak and Dagger, which we're going to be doing tomorrow, or on tomorrow's cast, we're going to be kind of catching the whole season one of Cloak and Dagger. It's just with Punisher and regular life and all the other things we were trying to do and Ant-Man and the Wasp, we just couldn't get to it until now. Thank you, Nathaniel. Thank you very much for understanding.
Yeah. I went back and looked. Our first episode dropped August 6th. 2014.
Wow. It's August 7th today.
Yep.
Happy anniversary.
Happy 4 years, buddy. Want to get a bottle of wine?
Are you trying to
crack this open?
Are you trying to seduce me?
Yeah.
What year?
2014.
So, yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Four years.
That was back when... Back when we decided that we wanted to talk about how the... basically recap the movie instead of talk about the character arcs.
Yeah.
We were so naive.
It was definitely different. It was definitely a different time. One of the biggest things about that... I remember when we started the cast and Guardians was coming out, and Guardians just blew my mind. It was so good, and it tied to the universe, but it was also just such a great standalone movie. And I'd been wanting to do some sort of podcast for a while, and that's what won me over to making this cast a thing. And the thing that made me think we could do it was that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. existed. Like, I was just like, if you just have three, you know, like Nathaniel said, 1.5 movies a year, it's really hard to do a podcast about that. But since S.H.I.E.L.D. existed, I was like, we could do a podcast. it could almost be a weekly thing because, you know, in the summer we'll have time off because we'll just do like news and feedback episodes. But like during the summer and Christmas, we'll barely do any episodes. But the rest of the time, the rest of the year, we'll have like content to talk about. It'll be great. And then since then, it's just insanely, it's just grown exponentially. It's insane.
Yep. Yep. Our, God, our first week was episode one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like the pilot. We rewatched it. And then episode 10, 11, 13, 14, 16, we talked about Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. And then episode 17, Turn. Yeah. And then episode 22.
Yep, we did selected episodes from season one to prepare for the drop of season two. I remember calling you and being like, hey, I know you've talked about doing voice work. Do you ever want podcasts? I know you're a big Marvel fan like me. Can we do this? And you were like, yeah.
Like, you didn't even know that I wanted to do voice work.
Oh, no, that's right. Call. That's right. That's right. I called you and I was like, would you be interested in doing a podcast? Like, we were talking and you're really into Marvel like me and we're just friends and I figured me and you would have good chemistry. And then and you were like, oh, I've always wanted to do voice work. That'd be great for me. And I was like, that's even better. I didn't know that was even a thing. That's super cool. Yeah, man. 4 years. Four fucking years. That's such a long time. Such a long time to do anything. Much less, this podcast. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay. Well, that's our little trip down memory lane. Let's keep moving down this feedback.
Okay. Sherman Smith said to us on Facebook, I liked Matt's take on the whole James Gunn situation. Unfortunately, Disney is still a corporation, and corporations are terrible at sticking up for their own people in the face of a hint of controversy. In this case, they have certainly been tone-deaf. If they were paying attention, they would see that a mass majority of the fans understand the situation and have no malice toward James Gunn. That's true.
I think that is true.
Yeah, there was somebody on Twitter that posted a picture. You know how Marvel recently went through the whole, like, more than a suit and more than, you know, whatever, talking about each character.
Right.
And like, more than an AI, more than whatever. Somebody took that and put James Gunn on it and said, more than a 10-year-old tweet.
Yeah, that's right. I'm really mad at Disney. I mean, and you know, I'm just saying, if there's Disney people listening to podcasts, just know that I've got two new universes that are about to be awakened from their slumber, and I can go podcast about anything. Like, I love this stuff.
We are what they care about.
I love this stuff. And, you know, like, it's seriously, like, we literally sit here and just give them free advertising every week because we just love what they do so much. We're just fans. And like, if they can't have the integrity to stand behind their decisions and not just, like, freak out because of public outcry, that they should have integrity to stand up and say, like, yeah, like, that they'd be a much better... And like, everyone would understand if you said, yeah, that he did that. You know, something I didn't bring up last week, I don't think, and this is something I meant to bring up in that discussion. There should be a different level of punishment for the different crimes.
Well, yeah.
And I don't see that happening with this whole outrage, getting people fired thing. Like, yes, Kevin Spacey, like, actually molested underage people, apparently. And he was fired from his job. And kind of lost his career.
Yeah.
James Gunn said some bad things. It was all speech. He didn't act on anything. There's no, like, no one's even claiming he acted on any of this. And or people that are just, you know, completely deluded. And that just it frustrates me that we're at the point in society where someone can say something, and just if enough people decide to jump on that thing, they can lose their career over it. And I don't think James Gunn is going to lose his career, but it's definitely a big, you know, step backwards if you can't if you're taken off Guardians 3. Guardians 3 is such a big movie to be taken off of, so.
Yeah, I've seen a picture that's been circulating on the internet that is James Gunn with a mustache, and it has a news headline above it. It says, Marvel hires first-time filmmaker Jimmy Gunbergo to direct Guardians 3.
That's funny.
Yep.
I was telling you before we should start. It's probably already on out there. Like rehire gun. Like we should start a hashtag campaign or something for rehiring him. And then I was like, no, reload gun.
Yeah.
Reload gun. I like it. Hashtag reload gun.
I like it.
Yeah. So everybody tweet that Marvel needs the hashtag reload gun.
I think Ashley Coffin would agree.
Yeah.
She said to us on Twitter, not to be political, but let's be serious. Someone from Fox News did this to him because he openly talks about his dislike of the president. If he was not outspoken about the president, then they wouldn't have done this to him. It's the eye for an eye thing. The left takes down their heroes, the right takes down theirs, and it's a bullshit thing. When will a line be drawn and a stand made about Twitter? If the president can get away with everything he says on Twitter, like right now it is being said that his tweets can't be used against him as treason, then why would James Gunn, who is not the president and not in politics? Like, James Woods was the voice of Hades and Hercules. Are they going to take everything down about that movie because of how that guy acts on Twitter? No. I'm glad you brought this up, because it does need to be talked about. It's heartbreaking. I also think if Gunn is out, then they should just end it. Not do Guardians 3. Keep Gamora, spoiler alert, dead, and phase it all out, which they can do with the way that Infinity War ended. And then she has a, let's talk Defenders!
So I guess we can touch on that. Yeah, I'm absolutely with Ashley on all this. And like, the thing about this is it was this weird unholy alliance between super woke Twitter, as they call it, where people jump on people who've said like bad things or whatever. And then this like hyper conservatives who were trying to take down Gunn because of his beliefs, his political beliefs. And like, you know, just it's coming at him from both sides. So like, I don't even think you're being political, actually. It's just everyone was gunning for him, for
no fun
for
intended
something he said. Yeah, no gun intended.
You clever devil.
So yeah, I'm just so frustrated with the whole thing. And I don't know. I haven't decided to take a stronger stance as to give up on all of Marvel because I love it and
I can't quit it.
But I think there's a lot of other great people working for it and making great work. The Netflix series, for instance. But it does seriously give me pause about making this podcast, honestly. I and that sucks. Like, it really makes me want to like do something to, you know, take my support away from Disney.
Yeah.
Like, I'll keep consuming it, but I'm going to stop supporting them the way I do.
I'm not going to keep giving you free advertisement.
Yeah. And you know, that maybe you could say they don't care about little old me, but if they're listening to podcasts or listening to like what fans are saying, I want them to hear like, we're really mad about this.
Yep.
At least I am. And so far I thought, honestly, I was scared to go on and talk like I did last week. So much on Gunn's side, because a lot of people are saying that, you know, the line that was really being held for the first couple weeks was, well, he said some pretty awful things, so we're not defending him. We're just saying, I'm defending him. Like, I'm just straight up defending him. Like, I don't like what he said, but he's allowed to say it, and he doesn't deserve, and it's been so many years, he doesn't deserve to lose Guardians over it. He just doesn't.
Since it's already been addressed.
Yeah, and the punishment way outstripped the crime. Like, it's just, you know, and it's just completely Disney being pretty soulless. And you know, it'd be much better for children. Like, you're talking about, like, this is a bad example for children is basically what they're getting at and what people are getting at. But, like, it's a much better example for children to say, oh, a guy did a thing, but, you know, that's not all a person is. It, just like you said, more than a 10-year-old
tweet. More than a 10-year-old tweet.
That's a great poster. I'm going to... we should make that our Facebook profile picture or whatever.
Maybe. It has a little bit of a double meaning, though, since some of his tweets were, like, you know, about children. So is it a tweet that's 10 years old, or is it a tweet about a 10-year-old?
I think that's looking into it too far. I think the original meaning is what it means.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Joe Williamson agrees with you. He says, I agree with a lot of how you feel about James Gunn. You're not alone in the idea that people changed and evolve as they get older. But also, some of us have a fucked up sense of humor that most people don't appreciate or find funny. And he says, also, do you guys have plans on watching or reviewing Legion on FX?
We do not have plans on doing Legion because it's not MCU. And I think Legion's great. I haven't seen the whole first season. I've seen about half the first season, and I think it's awesome. I really need to get back to it and watch the first two seasons because now there's two. But it's just with keeping up with all the things that are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hard to add anything outside of that.
If they include all of the X-Men stuff and like The Gifted and Legion and like roll all of that into the MCU. Oh.
I don't think they will. And the main reason I don't think they will is because, I mean, did you hear? I guess we should have talked about this in the news. They decided to shelve Dark Phoenix.
Good.
Yeah. I think I agree.
I don't think anybody else wants any. Oh,
and the one that was supposed to be horror oriented.
New Mutants.
Yeah, they're shelving both those movies, which is insane. One already had a trailer out. Like, these movies were far into production, but Marvel's, if Disney is buying it, they're like, I would rather reset the whole thing, you know, just start from scratch with a whole new. And the longer, they had a lot of pushback on Spider-Man because they just recently rebooted it, and they're like, another reboot? If you do that with X-Men, it's going to be the same thing because everybody's like, we just kind of rebooted with First Class and I know it wasn't technically a reboot, but it kind of was because the timelines don't line up. So even though they're technically the same timeline.
Days of Future Past reset everything.
Right. But First Class was still like going back to the beginning and retelling. Yeah. And then... Days of Future Past was a continuation of that. I just mean that whole beginning with First Class was like them kind of deciding to kind of give a new start to the series.
Breathe fresh life into it.
Yeah, and it'd kind of be like rebooting it again. Neither technically be a reboot, maybe. But I think they'd rather just leave it on the shelf until, because they're already going to be close to the other X-Men movies. But if they leave it on the shelf for maybe a year and then it comes out in 2 years, let's say they start making a movie right now and in 2 years we have a movie that's in the MCU, then they'll have just like a little bit more distance. And I think they want that. So I think if Disney takes over, we might be losing those shows, which it may be sad. I kind of wish they wouldn't lose Legion because it apparently is really, really great. From what I've seen, it's really, really great.
Yeah.
Also,
I could take or leave The Gifted.
Yeah, I haven't watched The Gifted, so I can't say for sure, but it definitely looks a little not great. But it might be great. I don't know. I saw a trailer for it today, and actually when I was watching something else, and I was like, that doesn't look bad.
It's decent.
Yeah, have you been watching it?
The Gifted?
Yeah. Cool.
Have they started releasing season 2 yet?
They've been running trailers for it, so. And it looks very much like they're going like full on X-Men with it, which is kind of cool.
Well, like everything that you hear in The Gifted about the X-Men is like, the X-Men are gone. They left us. They left us in charge. And I'm just kind of like, no, they didn't.
Yeah, where are they saying they went?
They nobody has said. It's just the X-Men have disappeared and they left. You know, these few people, these few, like, super underpowered people in charge of the Mutant Underground trying to evade Sentinel Services and get people out.
Huh. That is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a weird choice. Also, I think we got to get on the Legion and the FX and the Gifted stuff. I wanted to touch on Joe's other point about how some people just have an effed up sense of humor. And that's fine. Like, I've known a lot of people in my life that were incredibly loving, find people that would never hurt a child, but they will make horrible, horrible jokes. Oh, yeah. And yeah, maybe that's not a person to helm a franchise. That maybe you shouldn't choose a guy like that to helm a franchise if you don't want him. But it's definitely not the same as acting on some, like, this is, you know, acting on things like other celebrities and stuff have gone down for. And it's just like, the whole, some, I don't, I'm walking a razor thin line here, but the whole, like, Me Too, movement has kind of given rise to this whole, like, someone did something bad, we swat them down, which is good. And it's also all about believing the woman. And some people talk about how that's bad for culture because it might get people who didn't do a thing or whatever. And I'm not going there. I'm going with we got to draw a line between doing and saying.
Yeah.
Someone who says a thing is not the same as someone who does a thing. And some people just have an effed up sense of humor, and they should not be, you know, lose their careers or be, you know, there are certain lines to be crossed, and it just, he's an entertainer. He was making effed up movies. Like, if you don't like that tweet, you probably don't like his movies that he was making. Like, Disney knew the movies that he made. So anyway,
digressing again.
I mean, you know, we're talking about Joe's point that,
yeah,
some people have effed up sense of humor and they don't need to be shot for that.
Yeah.
People that have done things, there's just like different, there should be different levels of punishment and different levels of forgiveness based on like the severity of the crime, the recency of the crime, the, like, all these things should be taken into consideration.
there's no statute of limitations on tweets, Matt.
Right. That's a problem. That's like honestly a problem, especially since like, in a few years, everyone who is an adult will have had Twitter when they were 12. And we're going to look back at everybody's tweets and go, oh, that guy said that when he was 12. Well, I think very differently of him now. Because we all said and did messed up shit when we were young. Like, maybe not in certain ways, but we all, you know, we all have to figure out our own moral codes and...
Yeah,
figure out who we are.
I'm pretty sure I said the worst things when I was 12.
Well, and you also have to like grow up and get outside of, you know, things that your family or that your, like, you know, whatever your community believes, to sometimes see outside yourself and go, oh, maybe you know, especially we live in the South, and there's a lot of racism down here, and I know a lot of people who grew up just not understanding that racism was bad. My family wasn't that way, and I don't want to characterize it that way. My parents are very loving and love people of all colors. But like,
oh yeah, my family was totally that way.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I hate going back for Thanksgiving because my aunt is just like on and on about how some people are the worst and
that's right.
Shouldn't be hired at her Chick-fil-A.
We have talked
she manages.
About, we yeah. have talked about that before. And
not great.
Yeah,
not great.
It's awful. You know, sometimes when you're 12, you may not have gotten past seeing past those people as just your only source of morality. And in a few years, everyone who's an adult is going to have had a Twitter when they were 12. Like, it's just going to be rough, you know?
Oh yeah.
So we got to make decisions about like, punishing people based on the crime, and it's really this is really up to Disney. This is really in Disney's hands to make this decision, and to make like a decision that has some mercy and some grace in it, instead of like, oh, I'm scared as a corporation, it's going to hurt my bottom line, so I'm going to have not stand by my people at all. The more and more I talk about it, the more and more angry I am about it. Let's move on.
Joshua Mason said to us on Twitter, Adam Sucast, scene for Avengers 4. Pepper actually was pregnant, but Thanos' snap killed the baby. She tells Tony. How would Tony react? That would be Oscar-level drama acting on Robert Downey Jr.'s part that I'd love to see.
Ooh.
Excuse me.
I love. I think that's a cool idea. I think it is so politically wrought that they would never do it, unfortunately. because you're just going to have
Thanos
like,
is definitely pro-choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's going to be... It literally cuts to the quick of the abortion debate of, like, whether it's a life or whether it's a group of cells or whatever, like... And if he says, I cut off half the life in the universe, and then you took a small, you know, fetus. Wait, does that count? I don't know. It's up to the Supreme Court. Yes. like Thanos goes to the Supreme Court to find out if, that would be, I don't think they would do that, especially as a large plot point, because it would just, like, really raise political questions about, like, what they're making. And as much as they're trying to stay out of this gun... Like this whole gun thing, they're definitely not going to step into that. And right now, I just brought that up, and the Russos are rewriting Avengers 4.
Yep.
They're like, oh, yep. We didn't see that. Dang.
Oh, that was a great idea. We should reshoot that with our 6 months that are left.
Oh, no. I was saying the opposite. I was saying that that's already been shot. And then now they're like, oh, no. He's right. We got to take that out.
Ah, crap. Yep. And the last part of what Ashley Coffin had said earlier says, let's talk Defenders. We can't forget that somewhere in there, with all the craziness, Daredevil is coming back, and there will be Punisher Season 2. Kristen Ritter said they never had plans of doing another Defenders series. It was supposed to be one and done. But we all know Marvel loves to distract us. If they're doing the Born Again storyline, which is my favorite Daredevil comic, I'm going to be thrilled. But there is no way to do it without every single one of the Defenders. And why they wouldn't do it, that baffles me. So I am very excited to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's coming this year, man. Like, oh my god, we're getting Iron Fist Season 2 in 4 weeks, and then sometime between September and the end of the year, we're getting Daredevil Season 3.
Wow.
So, assuming probably November, taking about the slot that Punisher had taken right after Thor Ragnarok came out. So, we might be looking at a mid November release if they don't drop season 2 of The Runaways in that time slot or in that time frame.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's so much.
There's so much. There's so much.
So much content.
It's awesome.
Ross Fitzpatrick's hit us up, said, first off, thanks for the wonderful show that you guys put out. Thank you.
Thank you, Voss.
You're welcome. Last episode, you answered a voicemail with how the MCU doesn't tie into your liking. I agree. What makes the MCU great is how well it connects one universe. However, they're also great at the long con. Do you think that these tie-ins aren't being made because of where the potential ending of Avengers 4 is going to leave us? If the snapshot was voided out or if no one is able to remember it? Thanks, guys.
Yes. I think that's exactly what's going on. I think that they're going to void it. And they don't want to continue. They can't continue Luke Cage in a universe where the snapshot happened, and then jump back to Luke Cage in a universe where it didn't happen. And it would be like taking the entire season, all four Defender series, and going, oh, those didn't happen because they were after the snapshot, and that universe, that little pocket universe that was created, no longer exists. So I'm Ross is absolutely right that's why they're doing it, but it still annoys me. Like, especially it could be the last thing that happens. It could have been the last thing that happened in Luke Cage or something, you know, like the very last thing. Of course, then you've got the problem of if Luke Cage shows up on Iron Fist, then which thing happened first? And yeah, Ross is right. They're doing it for a good reason. But I just feel like with a little work, they could probably come up with other, like, ideas.
Oh, man, how crazy would it have been if at the end of Luke Cage Season 2, he's standing up in the balcony, like, looking down over the club, and then just half the club disappears.
Would have been amazing. It would have been absolutely amazing. More than that, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. should have done it. Because, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be kind of the one that's really tied in to the movies. And the fact that they just kind of mentioned a battle in New York, that's just so lame. It's so lame. Like,
this crazy stuff in New York. Like, okay, but, like, can you talk about it?
Well, here's what I want to know. Oh, wait, did we already decide, did we already hear that S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back after Avengers 4? Is that right? When is S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back?
Okay. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming back after Avengers 4 drops.
Wow. I'm at once annoyed because they're never going to show the Snapchat, and I am impressed that they're willing to jockey the schedule around so much to put the content in the right order. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been a fall show forever, a fall and spring show, and now they're going to make it a summer show just to make it, like, fit in with the timeline. That's
nuts.
Kind of amazing.
It's nuts, man.
Yeah.
And it's looking like, because originally Avengers 4 had been confirmed for May 3rd, like, we're releasing at least North America. But it's looking like it's actually going to be April 26th. Of 2019, which is a week earlier. That's according to a release from IMAX, like one of their shareholders meetings. They announced, or they had said that, you know, we got this coming this day and that coming that day. And it said Avengers 4, April
26th. Yeah.
So they're probably going to do another thing similar to what they did this year, where they're going to jump it forward a week, like, you know, have a Twitter campaign or whatever and jump it forward a week, just so that they can have a worldwide release on the same week.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. I'm so pumped for Avengers 4. Just can't
sometime
even sometime
after that is when we're expecting S.H.I.E.L.D. 6. 6, right?
Season, yep.
God, season 6.
Whew. This will be our fifth year of podcasting. Goodness. All right, everybody. Well, that is all of our feedback. I want to say right now, if you're listening to my voice and you have not listened to my album yet, what are you doing? What are you doing? My album's been out since February. It is called Matthew Carroll Left to Burn. It's the name of the album. You should all listen to it.
And not to burn. Not up to burn. And not down to freeze. Left to burn.
Left to burn. It is a album I'm super proud of. I'm a musician. If you don't know, I'm a musician, and my music is kind of 90s rock influenced pop, indie pop kind of thing, with some blues in there. Check it out. It's called Left to Burn. It's on Spotify, Apple Music. If you have not heard it yet, please check it out.
Give us a sample, Matt.
Even if I end up crying, I want to be the next one. Okay, I just did. I inserted a little bit of a song.
Okay. Good work.
You were like expecting me to sing, and I'm like, nope, through the magic of editing. So
that was great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you enjoyed that sample of the music. But seriously, please check it out. It was done at a really high level, the production was done at a really high level, and so it is... I would put it up against any other thing. I'm super proud of it. Check it out. I don't say it very much on the cast because I don't want to do it every week, but I'm begging you right now. I'm begging you to go listen to the album because I am just doing everything I can to get people to listen to it because it's been out for 4 months and I still am trying to get it in people's hands. So check it out. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. You can find us at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us and leave a voicemail at 573-CAST-MCU to do some other kind of feedback, some audio feedback. If you would like to support the show, we're at patreon.com/mcucast. That's Patreon, the place where you can give creators money for value they give you. So if you like the show, you throw us a few bucks. It's a way of directly paying people to do more of the thing you like that they do. It's pretty sweet. It really helps make this podcast possible. Thank you so much. We will be back tomorrow with Cloak and Dagger. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.